Hey guys, it's 4 days till polling day, and Joel and I wanted to talk about how we are feeling about our first general election and how it's been going so far. Yeah, hope you enjoy. It's been a tough couple of days. Welcome back to the Singapore.
Welcome to the Singapore.
Pursuant to Section 49, Subsection 7E. Paragraph A.
Because nobody, no group of men have got the will, have got the capacity to do more for this country.
Every Singaporean.
That's what is different about Singapore.
All right.
So,
well, I really wanted this to be, I don't know, I kind of like when we were thinking about doing this episode, I really wanted it to be like, kind of like a summary about how the election is going. I don't know, to be honest, I was really enjoying the election season.
I really was.
Up to this point. Like, I don't know.
I've been
like,
so
I don't
involved.
Know how to explain. I mean, I think I do keep, I mean, obviously I keep track of what is happening in Singapore and like what are the issues and obviously, because it's compulsory to vote here, like I've been just trying to make sure that I'm as educated as possible, finding out about the opposition and finding out about the PAP.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, after our talk with Walid a few days back, I think it really made me think about how I need to be a voter that's informed and not just making a vote out of who I like and who I don't like, but really making the choice.
To be active, you know, like I think that's what's really interesting, because I mean, up to this point, we haven't like really been active, or like I think active in the sense that maybe I wasn't really someone who talks about politics all the time on Instagram. I don't know, is that because that's not like who you want to be, right? Like you want to be, you don't really want to be.
I know
that
what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I'm also a little bit like wary of posting political stuff on Instagram, but like suddenly I feel that I want to get this message across. I want to get, I want to inform people who may not be so involved in these elections. I mean, even at home, right? I was talking to my sister a few days back and I was asking her, where are you going to vote? And she's like, definitely PAP, like, I'm not involved. I don't really care. And I was like, okay, that's your own vote. But I think you should be more informed. You should do a bit more research before just making a blind vote, right? Because your vote still matters. And over time, from not wanting to talk about politics at all, now she's a lot more open to it. And I think her mind's starting to change and she's really weighing the options and not just voting for the sake of voting, but voting because she now believes that her vote matters. And I think that's really a trend that a lot of our young voters are going through. Like for me, I think growing up, our parents' generation is always just, there's only one person, one party that I want to be in power, right? And they don't believe that any other opposition could do any good or stuff like that. But I think with access to information that we have now, we are getting a lot more feeds from every direction, and it's a good thing definitely. And I enjoy seeing so many people being more involved in politics and more involved in the government. So yeah, it's exciting times, but also frustrating times.
I think, I mean, like, okay, so I don't know. I think a part of me feels really proud. I think there's this feeling like growing up as a Singaporean that kind of everything is taken care of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I grew up like under that impression. Like, I mean, we do have, I'm not going to take anything away from the leadership that we've had over the years.
Yes, you know, of course.
Like, I mean, we obviously wouldn't be what we are today without Lee Kuan Yew and without PAP leadership.
Definitely.
But I think, I don't know, I think I'm really proud that like more and more people are coming up with better ideas. I mean, I think it's just like, I just feel really proud that like people are not taking things for granted anymore. Like we're not just sticking to the status quo, and they're starting to envision a Singapore that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, not that people didn't do that before, but it's just like, I think a lot of people just assume that Singapore is one thing.
Yeah.
But enough people love this country enough to be like, oh, we can make it so much better.
Yeah. I think it's people realizing that their vote actually can make that difference, and that there are parties other than the PAP which represents so many different voices. And I think a sentiment that the country had before was that no matter what I vote, the PAP is still going to be in power. No matter what I vote, it's just going to be the same thing, right? And it doesn't matter. But I think, like I said just now, with the access to information, we are realizing that voting for the opposition and voting for someone else is not saying that you don't want a PAP government, or you're not saying that you don't want the PAP to be in power anymore, but it's more of having better representation. And I think that's what's different about this election, where people are starting to see that as the point rather than voting out the current government.
I think it's really interesting because I was really happy feeling like I was part of something. So like this whole election, it's really been about trying to find the issues and like really trying to educate yourself. You know, being involved, I feel like being involved in the future of my country has really like, it's really empowering. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's a sense of agency that I never really felt before. I think we live in a system that it's so like overbearing. Sometimes you can think like, oh, you know, I don't really matter. As long as I just work within this system, like I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then you realize that when the elections come around, oh, actually like this is your chance to make change and to find out what you really believe in.
Yeah.
And then segue to the last 2 days and Risa Khan. Yeah. Is being investigated by the police over a statement she made on Facebook
in 2018.
And I just feel, I don't know, I'm trying not to swear, but like I'm so angry.
Like, I know. Yeah.
Like, okay, so I'm just gonna go and bring up the article.
Yeah.
And I just wanna read what the PAP said.
The statement like, that came out PAP today, right?
I was
upset when it came out. Like, okay, let's contrast it to Ivan Lim, right? The PAP candidate who people dug out his background and his past, and the people didn't feel he was a suitable candidate. And I mean, I don't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, but I don't remember any opposition parties going after Ivan Lim or like attacking him. It was mainly just netizens coming out. And
I mean, okay, at first, right, like when I saw this story, I was like, oh, the person who reported her is this like hardcore PAP supporter.
Mm.
And like, I was like, okay, so I mean, definitely there are people who support the PAP. I'm not saying that I'm not one of them. Like, if the PAP's policies are good, I will support the PAP.
Definitely.
And so I thought this guy was like, okay, he's very hardcore PAP. He really wants the PAP to win. And then he does this. He reports reports her to the police. And then I was like, okay, now we have to wait and we have to see how the PAP is going to use this.
Yeah.
And then they put out their press statement.
It's in my opinion, which is not a very informed opinion at times, it's a bit unnecessary.
They said, okay, this is what they said. They said, why does the Workers' Party still consider her worthy of consideration as an MP? This is a serious matter which goes to the fundamental principles on which our country has been built.
I mean, you're...
Okay. I think this is what makes me really, really angry, because they're not addressing what she was trying to say in her statement. They're just saying that, they're like plainly saying that she is like stoking like tensions.
Yeah.
It's really upsetting.
I mean, okay, if we parallel this to Ivan Lim, right, when all these allegations came out against him, the Minister Masagos, who is the vice chairman of PAP, he said this, in a quote, but also I think it is important for the candidates who may have been alleged to be something or other to also prove themselves, right? So if he can say that about his own party member, why is he saying this about, you know, an opposition? Is it really a...
Okay, to clarify, don't POFMA us.
Yeah,
he please. Didn't say that himself. It was the PAP's press statement.
Yes.
This is it's just so upsetting. I mean, we just had a podcast about race, right? Like, like we know that there are certain things that that minority races like face in Singapore.
Mm.
And it's not that it doesn't exist. And so when they say that what she said goes against the fundamental principles on which our country was built, it like completely negates like any difficulty that any minority person has faced in Singapore ever. The way that they say it is like our country is like perfect, like there's nobody who says any racist comments ever, and any racist statements are like completely unacceptable. But then, like, you know, there's that meme going on Facebook about like about racist quotes like coming from other people in power, and none of them have ever been investigated by the police. It's actually like, when you put it in that perspective, like, this story is just, I can't believe this is happening. And I think as, like, a first-time voter, I kept thinking, like, oh, you know, like, I knew that politics was dirty, but I didn't know that it was going to be this dirty.
So blatantly, like, out in front of you to see, right?
And I think, you know what this reveals about us? It reveals that, especially with the PAP saying, like, putting out this statement about how this attacks the fundamental principles like of our country, it reveals the fact that there is a significant portion of the Singaporean population that who will believe this. Like, they think that her saying this is an attack on them, and it's like stoking a culture war, and it just kind of like it's really worrying that there's a significant portion of the population that would see Risa Khan's statement and think that they are being attacked based on that, because they're Chinese or because they're Christian.
Yeah.
It's actually terrifying.
It is scary. And honestly, I think it's an outdated tactic. That's like something that in our conversations before
it's a Donald Trump tactic.
It's fear, right? It's just trying to, which is, it's, I don't know. I don't know the word to use, but
So like I just wanted to express my frustration. I mean, like, when I was playing this episode, I really want, like, I like, we, you know, like, we wanted to do like a top three of like
I wanted to do
like the top three like one-liners that we've heard in this direction. We wanted to share like the best memes and stuff like that, and it's just like, this happened, it's like I can't do any of that now.
I think this is definitely more important. Yeah, so much more important. But I think the reason why she is being singled out right now is all to do with the GRC she's running in, which is Sengkang, and the Workers Party candidate, part of the GRC, the Workers Party candidate is James Lim, who
He's become such a superstar.
Exactly. I think, to put bluntly, I think the PAP is a little worried. That's why they have to come and that's why they are going after this team right now, because it definitely poses a threat to them, and because of James and for his appearance on national TV during the debate and how he could speak on the same level as Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan, it's quite amazing. So
I mean, I think we were talking about like the categories that we wanted to go through like this during this podcast, right? So like one of the best one-liners I think that I've heard so far is that when James Lim said that the PAP does not have a monopoly on the best ideas.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, I am like super impressed about how much of a superstar that he's like become.
Mm-hmm.
And like, people are really resonating with him because I think when he said that, I think maybe it was one of the first few times where they thought, actually, he's right. So, I mean, let's just address that one of the big memes that that is circulating on Facebook is the one where they contrasted James Lim as a Workers' Party candidate versus if he was picked to be a PAP candidate.
Yeah.
And then like everybody will be saying these things about him that he like hasn't lived in Singapore.
Mm.
And like I have family members like, I think he hasn't lived in Singapore long enough to really understand how we are. Let me just address that, okay?
Yeah.
So I mean, it makes sense, right? Like the two sides, but this is what's wrong with it. He didn't run as a PAP candidate.
Yep.
He picked the road that is like the least,
it's tougher,
like, he picked the hardest road to get to parliament. I mean, I think that just shows that, I mean, if he wanted if he if his goal was to get to parliament, he just comes off like dumb. Like, he picked the hardest one, the hardest road.
Yeah, and I mean, I respect that so much. Like, to me, this shows how much he cares and how much what's his motivation behind it, you know. That it's not just about getting a seat, like you said, it's really fighting for the people.
So we wanted, like, this podcast was supposed to be like top three things, and then we were gonna make it fun, but now it's not fun but anyway, there was one category that I still want to bring up, and we wanted to do the top three things that need to be retired after this general election. And okay, so I have a lot of opinions on this, but okay, top three things that should be retired after this general election. Number one. Scare tactics.
Definitely.
Right? Like,
yeah. I mean, what I think, we talked about at the start of this podcast is basically a scare tactic as well. And if I'm not... today itself, Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat said that, what would Singaporeans think if they wake up next Saturday to find that the PAP has lost 4 GRCs and 2 SMCs? What would investors and other countries think? Like,
I think the reason why I think scare tactics should be retired after this general election is because I think this has been an argument that has been used for a very, very long time, like ever since Singapore became independent. And I think it was a legitimate strategy when Singapore was developing, like when we weren't necessarily, like, I mean, to be very cliche, we hadn't become a first world country.
Yeah.
Like, from third world to first, right? And I think now that we are supposedly a first world country, I just think that it's, we as a people have developed enough to see the flaws in saying how fragile our island is.
Yeah.
Again, like, you know, we wouldn't have made it where we are without the PAP, without Lee Kuan Yew.
Agreed.
Without like all this like amazing leadership, I must say.
For sure, yeah, I agree with you.
But I think we are at a point in our country's development and our country's history that I don't think anyone should ever believe that, like, how fragile Singapore is anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, in order for any of the opposition parties, like, in order for the opposition parties to take away the PAP supermajority, they would have to do incredibly well in this year's general election.
Pretty much win every, like, for the major, even for the Workers' Party and for SDP and even PSP, if they would win all their seats, I don't even think they would even get 30% of the votes. Especially for Workers' Party, they're only contesting in 21 seats.
And exactly.
And you need 32 seats.
I mean,
right?
It's never happened in the history of our country.
Yeah.
And even if they did get all the seats that they needed, I'm talking about all the major opposition parties. Even if they did get all the seats that they needed,
yeah,
Singapore wouldn't just crumble to dust the next day.
Of course.
Like, the PAP is still in power. They can still form the government. Everybody can still debate.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, that needs to be retired. Decree number one.
Definitely.
No more scare tactics.
Yes, please.
Okay. Things that need to be retired after this general election. Number two.
Yep.
Political gaslighting. Gaslighting, according to the dictionary, is to manipulate someone by psychological means into doubting their own sanity. Okay. This is what I feel like, you know, we've been talking about this for, like, I mean, during this election, like, I feel like there has been a lot of gaslighting going on.
Yeah.
Especially, like, with certain laws and stuff. I think PJ Thumb on New Narrative, he did a great episode about POFMA, about how POFMA is being used and the flaws in the law. And I think POFMA was sold to us by the PAP
to protect us.
That But it was there to protect us, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's interesting because, like, obviously, when we look at fake news, we are, I am worried about how fake news could affect Singaporeans and could affect
stability
the outcome of our elections.
Yeah, of course.
Right? But when they explained how POFMA was used, it was just a bit like, I mean, it was worrying, just to say the least. It was like worrying about how like this law could be used against political parties, like opposition parties.
Yeah.
And then, but then, like, so I didn't appreciate feeling like I was going crazy that certain people's like speaking rights are like being like enclosed upon.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely unfair to the people, to for parties to communicate to voters this way, and yeah.
I don't know, like how can you sell this to us as a means of protecting us, but then use it in such like nefarious ways? Like, it makes me feel dirty. This whole election is dirty now. I mean, I hope people don't stop talking about this.
Yeah,
because
we definitely need to keep talking about it. And yeah, it's definitely time that these voices are heard and that we are not blind to these issues, and that old tactics such as this would just slowly begin to fade, I guess.
I mean, okay. Another form of gaslighting I feel that has happened during this election is about the NCMP scheme.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate Anjani Raja talking about how you shouldn't vote for the opposition because they can just be NCMPs.
Okay. Maybe a little background for those who are not too familiar with NCMPs. NCMPs are members of parliament who are nominated into parliament, but they don't have a constituency to manage. So they're typically the top losers in the election.
The media loves to use that word, the best losers.
Right. But, and they have the exact same voting rights. They have the exact same things. And this is what I've heard some PPMP says, like, you paraphrase, I can't remember who, please don't puff mummy again. You don't need to vote the opposition in because they have the NCMP seats waiting for them and their voices will still be heard. But if there's no difference between an NCMP seat and a normal MP seat, then what for have them, you know? And
I'm just very,
and
I mean, I think the scheme, like, when it was introduced, like, I mean, I think Goh Chok Tong was explaining the role of the NCMP scheme. And I thought it was interesting, like, you know, they wanted opposition, they wanted to ensure opposition voices in Singapore.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially when the PAP was like really dominating.
Back then, I think like only two SMCs. It was Low Thia Kiang and Chiam See Tong. That's about it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I think when he explained it, I'm like, okay, that makes sense, you know, like, but I think now when they're saying like, oh, you know, you don't need to vote the opposition because the NCMPs are there, it kind of undermines the whole concept of like elections in general.
You could reverse like, it on them like, also, right?
I mean, like, not even just like, so Goh Chok Tong explained that it was to ensure opposition voices are heard.
Mm.
At a time where I think a lot of people, I mean, had a lot of trust in the PAP, you know, like, we thoroughly believed in their leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And believed in their ideas. And it's not to say that nobody, like, that a significant amount of people don't believe in their ideas anymore. But to say that we shouldn't vote opposition because they can be NCMPs, it's just like undermining the whole point of elections.
Because exactly.
we want to choose the people to represent us in parliament, correct?
Yes, and exactly. And I mean, okay, so the thing is, after these elections, they're going to increase the number of MCMP seats, right? Which actually means there's a diluted voice if there'll be less representation if all the opposition members actually go into the MCMP seats, because there'll be a larger parliament and smaller percentage of opposition voices.
I mean, I think, like, maybe in the beginning it was like a good idea.
I agree with that. Yes,
I feel like now it's definitely some sort of like, it's like very tokenistic.
It's like it's a participation medal.
It is a participation medal. I mean, there's like been lots of like during this election, there's been lots of like infographics like going around, and I think it's not that Singaporeans are like not familiar with democracy, but then when you really look at the amount of well-run countries that have like a very balanced parliament, like I guess in my head I was like, oh, I mean, why can't we be like that? I think some people will be like, oh, like you have a Western point of view, that's how the Western countries do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. Not about I think discourse is always good. Like good discourse, like constructive discourse will always be better for our country.
Definitely.
Then, I mean, I don't want to keep like quoting the Workers' Party. I don't sound like a Workers' Party
supporter. Yeah.
I can't even vote for the Workers' Party. They're not even representing my GRC.
Yeah.
But as I mean, like, I just think that like when Pritam Singh said, oneself, check oneself.
Yeah.
Like it really like, oh, that hit hard.
It's
like,
so true,
God,
right?
It's like, so hard.
Yeah. And I think,
like, okay, like, what? Disclaimer, I cannot vote for the Workers' Party. I cannot vote for the Workers' Party. Yeah, not contesting in my GRC. But I think a lot of people were surprised about how strong they were this time around.
Especially in
I think especially when we look back, when we look back on past elections, even our small child brains kind of like remember elections as being like the PAP versus all these weird quacks that don't know what they're talking about, or they don't have like fully formed ideas or that kind of stuff. But then like suddenly
during this election,
the Workers' Party came out with such great candidates. Yes. Like candidates that really very surprising. I mean, props to their PR team as well, obviously.
Yeah.
But suddenly there is like a legitimate run, like a legitimate opposition run. And I think it was just like very refreshing to see. And I really hope that we see more of that.
I agree. And
in the future elections. Okay. So no more political gaslighting after this general election. Please. I mean, we talked about it during the race conversation that we had. It's like sometimes it feels like the government thinks that we are not smart enough to have constructive conversations.
Mm.
And that's what I think boils down to. They're like, oh, you know, you're not feeling what you're feeling. And that's just very like, it just makes me feel crazy.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I'm glad that that more and more people are talking about these kind of issues and they're like, oh, it's not just us that are feeling crazy. Like this policy is actually like affecting us.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't keep quiet about these kind of issues.
Definitely. But I guess what we have to keep note of is that whatever we say, we must always be constructive in what we say. Don't just complain for the sake of complaining, you know. If you complain, if you're unhappy about something.
Some people are like really very like,
they just want to complain, but
yeah.
What we really need to do to progress in this area is be the solution. Don't be just highlighting problems. Be part of the solution.
Okay.
Right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Last thing that should be retired after this year's general election is being a PAP supporter does not equal patriot. They are two different things.
Yes.
Just because you don't support the PAP doesn't mean that you don't love Singapore.
Lee Hsien Yong?
I really hate it when people say that, or like when people insinuate that because you're against the PAP, you don't love Singapore enough.
Mm. And
I mean, I feel like, especially for me, I think I was brought up in a very pro-PAP household.
Yeah. I guess me too. Like,
it's not I don't support the PAP. I mean, I think they have a lot of good policies and they have a lot of smart people that work for them, you know? Like, I think in this election, it's interesting because I see a lot of people who run for the Workers' Party.
Mm.
Like, all these, like, really quite qualified candidates are. And then you see them run and, like, their path to parliament is literally the hardest path to parliament. And,
definitely.
Like, you know what that proves? That proves that they're not in it for the power.
Yeah.
You know? They're not in it for the power. They're in it for...
To
have their voices heard, number one, and to be part of the governance of Singapore.
Definitely, I think it really shows where their heart is. It's not with money. It's not with power. It's not with, I don't know what. But it's really just wanting to the best for our country. So I guess, like, adding on to your point, like, I also came from a home where, like, from young, my parents would always vote BAP, and you know, like, my dad was a civil servant, and I guess there was this fear in the previous generation where if you don't vote for the BAP, they will know somehow, and then you get blacklisted lah. But if you listen to our previous podcast and what Walid talked about, it's how transparent and how legitimate our voting process is, and your vote is really secret. And I was listening to him talk to another guy on Instagram, which got over 1,000 live views.
I feel so smart. I hope you remember us. He's moved on to bigger things.
In the span of 3 days, he moved on to the... Okay, anyway, so something he said there, and he ended off with this quote. He said that if you vote in fear, you deserve to live in fear. So, and when he said that, I was like, wow, like, okay, like, I don't deserve to live in fear, I think. But, but yeah, we should.
But it just stifles progress, you know?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
I think that's what he meant. Like, it's just very stifling to live in fear and, yeah, like, vote in fear.
I mean, fear of many different things, right? Like, fear that your government is going to collapse, fear that we're not going to prosper. I mean, I don't think we are. And
I feel like the concept of staying in a box where you're afraid, you will always be that way unless you push yourself to go out of that box and really to think for yourself about what could be and what could be better.
Yeah, do not vote in fear.
I mean, all jokes aside, Joel Lim is making great content. Please go to his Instagram account and follow him. And
it's really informative. And yeah, go.
Very informative.
Very. Okay.
But also listen to our previous podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess to just wrap up this conversation, I'm really glad that we are seeing so many people participate and be more involved in this election. Maybe I was too young, but I really don't remember the last election having so many people speaking out, having so many people being involved, having the whole country really following this election so closely, and being so vocal for the opposition as well. And I think even if we don't see an increase in the opposition numbers in parliament, that's okay, because there's much more being talked about, and that these issues are being brought up, and people are more aware to these issues and this system and how and what the opposition can bring as well. And I think it's something that we shouldn't stop talking about and should never stop talking about, and continue this conversation even in times that it's not during election period, it's not during an election year.
I think I'm just really impressed that people are being so
vocal
and active, because I think it's not something that I've really truly experienced growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to say that we live in fear, but it's just like you don't want to be that guy on social media just ranting about government policies all the time.
Yeah.
And obviously the election is an avenue where most people can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so important that everybody be engaged, because that's the only way that we can have discourse about issues that matter to us, and that's the only way that our country is gonna progress forward, to really have healthy debates about the issues that we face.
What I want to say is, we are not anti-PAP, but we are pro-diversity, right, in parliament.
I think what is interesting that is, I didn't know I was pro-diversity until this election.
I fully agree with you, yeah. And I think many people share the same sentiment as us. And that's why I say it's really good that we are having conversations like this. It's really good that people are starting to talk about it, and people are becoming more aware of this issue and becoming more aware of the situation here, and want change and want conversations to keep going on. So yeah, that's really encouraging.
Okay, guys, that was our emotional rant about. Yeah. About how the election has been going on so far.
Yeah. And I guess if you have anything to add, like, drop us an email. Like, we'll be happy to talk about it as well. And I also want to thank our 92 followers who have, over the last five episodes, have we've actually done beyond our expectations, and we really want to thank you guys for that. We have over 1,200 starts on Spotify itself. So I think this is beyond our expectations. And when we started this, we just wanted, we didn't really care how many people listen, and we weren't expecting this. So really, thank you guys for following us. And if you like our content, subscribe, follow, and tune in.
Thanks, guys, for reaching the end of another episode of The Singapore. We hope you really enjoyed it. We'll see you guys in the next one.